Welcome to Nightlights, WFIU's new Saturday evening jazz program. This is David Brent Johnson, and I'll be with you for the next hour as we ring in what would have been Charlie Parker's 84th birthday with a program of Parker concert recordings and air shots. It's Bird Alive tonight on Nightlights.
Thank you.
Charlie Parker doing Thelonious Monk's Round Midnight from the album One Night in Birdland, back there by Bud Powell on piano, Curly Russell on bass, and Art Blakey on drums. Some dispute about when this date was actually recorded. It's often given as June 30th, 1950. Fats Navarro, who we'll be hearing from in just a moment with Charlie Parker, was on many of the tracks from this particular gig, and he actually died only about a week after that. And there's a lot of speculation that Navarro and this date came from earlier in the year, probably more like May of 1950. They've never really been able to nail it down, but still an incredible meeting of bebop legends, Parker and Powell and Blakey, and as I said, in just a moment, we'll be hearing Fats Navarro joining them. We'll be hearing Charlie Parker live tonight with Charles Mingus, Roy Haynes, and Thelonious Monk, among others, as well as a rare example of Bird in Stereo from a 1952 Communist Party benefit. There's an intriguing story behind that in a couple of ways. Right now, here's more music from One Night in Birdland, a piece written by Denzel Best and recorded for Miles Davis's Birth of the Cool Sessions, Move, Charlie Parker with Fats Navarro on Nightlights. Thank you. Charlie Parker doing Denzel Best Move, a considerably heated up version from what appeared on Miles Davis's Birth of the Cool from One Night in Birdland. This kind of music just really makes me want to drive across America in the middle of the night. It's probably a symptom of having read too much Kerouac in my youth or something. But it comes from a fantastic album of live Charlie Parker music called One Night in Birdland. We heard on that track Charlie Parker on alto saxophone, Bud Powell on piano. Bud Powell really playing in his prime too here. Fats Navarro on trumpet shortly before his death at the age of 26. Curly Russell on bass and Art Blakey on drums. I really think it's a bebop date to rival the famous Jazz at Massey Hall. It's one of the best examples of recorded live bebop. Our next tracks come from one of the more fascinating live recordings in the Bird canon, if for no other reason than the lineup that was behind them. This comes from a famous jazz club in Boston. It was called the Hi-Hat. Bird went and played there many times. This particular recording comes from December of 1952 and came out on the Uptown label a few years ago, simply called Boston 1952. The lineup features obscure legends Joe Gordon on trumpet, Joe Gordon who died in a rooming house fire in the early 1960s at the age of 35, and Dick Twardzik on piano, who died of a heroin overdose while on tour with Chet Baker in Europe, age 24 in 1955. And not-so-obscure legends, Charles Mingus on bass and Roy Haynes on drums. Very intriguing lineup. And Gordon, Joe Gordon, the trumpeter, is heard to very good effect on our first selection from Boston, 1952, Parker's very own Cool Blues. You're listening to Charlie Parker on WFIU's Nightlights.
Charlie Parker does one of his very famous records, one I know you'll enjoy, Cool Blues.
Thank you.
here's one of the very famous things that when in 1945 we got Bird and Dizzy and Max and some of the other guys together, we did a thing called Groovin' High.
Thank you.
Charlie Parker doing Groovin' High, a composition written by him and Dizzy Gillespie, and also Parker's composition Cool Blues, both of those from Boston, 1952, put out on the Uptown label. The lineup including Parker on alto sax, Joe Gordon on trumpet, Dick Twardzik on piano, Charles Mingus on bass, and Roy Haynes on drums. We're going to slow it down a little bit with the next number, and you'll hear it. It features Dick Twardzik's piano playing at one point. I think you'll hear Twardzik really a little more of his individuality coming out. He was really kind of, in some ways, anticipated some of what Cecil Taylor would go on to do, and he's a much overlooked figure that emerged from the Boston jazz scene in the early 1950s, and then tragically had his life cut short at the age of 24 in 1955. You'll hear the band being introduced by Symphony Sid Torin, a somewhat infamous jazz DJ who did quite a lot to promote the music in the late 1940s and the 1950s. It's really easy for jazz fans of this particular era to kind of make fun of Symphony Sid, and rightfully so in some cases, but he did do an awful lot to be an advocate for bebop. He just had some pretty annoying tendencies. He would often say, "Here's a little thing we did. We got together and we recorded this and we called it blah, blah, blah." And you just want to go like, "No, Sid, they got together. You weren't there. You weren't on the date." He also had a tendency to get song titles and musicians' names wrong. And you'll hear an example of that here when he botches Dick Twardzik's name and kind of gets called on it by Roy Haynes hitting the drums. But here's Symphony Sid introducing Charlie Parker and his band before they do Don't Blame Me.
Boston Zone and one of the great drummers of all time. How about a great big hand for Roy Haynes, ladies and gentlemen? From California, a great gentleman of bass, Charlie Mingus, ladies and gentlemen. Another one of Boston's favorites at the piano, Dick Twardzik. All week long, I remember, now I forgot. Well, what can you do? It's our early morning. On trumpet, also from Boston, wonderful gentleman, Joe Gordon, ladies and gentlemen. You can tell that this gentleman comes from Boston, a well-liked young gentleman. And, of course, the great Charlie Parker, ladies and gentlemen. Here's one of the beautiful, relaxed things that everybody enjoys. Don't Blame Me. Thank you.
Charlie Parker from Boston, 1952, recorded at the Hi-Hat on Sunday afternoon, December 14th, doing Don't Blame Me, Parker on alto saxophone, Jill Gordon on trumpet, Dick Twardzik on piano, Charles Mingus on bass, and Roy Haynes on drums. You heard him being introduced by Symphony Sid Torin. Well, earlier in that year, in September of 1952, Parker had played a benefit at New York City's Rockland Palace for Benjamin Davis, who is a very interesting figure in New York City history and in civil rights history. He was a member of the Communist Party and also worked for the Daily Worker, and was elected to the New York City Council as the representative from Harlem in 1943. In fact, he was the last so-called card-carrying member of the Communist Party to hold a political office as high as that in this country. And he had been sentenced to jail in 1949. He'd been convicted under the Smith Act, which made it illegal to teach or advocate the forcible overthrow of the United States government. So the party and the Daily Worker were having a benefit for him, and Parker played this benefit. I don't know that Parker was particularly politically minded. Parker was an extremely intelligent man on many matters besides music, and there are countless anecdotes from musicians and others who knew him of Bird talking at length and quite eloquently about a number of things, political, social, and cultural issues, but I don't believe that he was actually necessarily an advocate for the Communist Party himself. I think this was just a gig, and Benjamin Davis was a very admired figure in Harlem, particularly admired among African Americans in the New York City area. And so Bird played this benefit for him. Walter Bishop was on piano, Mundell Lowe was on guitar, Teddy Kotick was on bass, and Max Roach was on drums. Now, tape of this show had circulated for many years, and it was sort of an erratic, not so great audio quality tape. And when Doug Pomeroy went to put this out again in 1996, they found yet another tape. Somebody else had taped the show, a much better sounding tape. But unfortunately, this person had only recorded Parker's solos. There were a number of people who followed Parker around. Dean Benedetti is the most famous of them, who would go around and record Bird with rather primitive wire recorders and such. And often they would only tape his solos to save space, which makes sometimes for a frustrating listening experience. If you're listening to some of this music, the Parker solos are amazing, but it's always nice to hear them within the full context of the music. Well, Pomeroy was able to reconstruct many of the, almost the entire concert that existed on these two tapes by using working with both of these tapes, and he was actually able in one instance to sort of create a stereo version of Charlie Parker. Parker died in 1955 before stereo really came along. And it took so long, though. Pomeroy was only able to do it on this one track, but it's a really, really amazing track. It's one of the fastest numbers, probably, in the library of Byrd performances. And we'll hear it, as well as a particularly innovative and more open-ended Byrd with strings number. Byrd kind of vacillated in this concert between doing the small group sides and also playing with strings. So first we'll hear Lester Leaps In and then Rocker Number 2. This is Charlie Parker on WFIU. Thank you. Charlie Parker doing Jerry Mulligan's Rocker, backed by an unknown string section, and Walter Bishop on piano, Mundo Lowe on guitar, Teddy Kotick on bass, and Max Roach on drums. We also heard Lester Leaps In, both of those coming from a September 26, 1952 concert in New York City, put out on CD as the complete legendary Rockland Palace concert. It was a benefit for African-American communist and civil rights figure Benjamin Davis. Well, I was talking a little bit earlier about the Dean Benedetti recordings. Benedetti, a man who followed Bert around the late 1940s and recorded him, and for decades his recordings were thought to be lost and are often referred to as the holy grail of Charlie Parker live recordings. They finally surfaced in the late 1980s, and Mosaic Records put them out as a 7-CD set. Often you hear Parker's solos only, and the audio quality is very inconsistent. It's probably a set that really only aficionados would want to get, but it did yield the only live recording I know that features Bird playing with Thelonious Monk. They recorded together for Verve in 1950 along with Dizzy Gillespie and Buddy Rich, but here we can hear them as Monk basically comes out of the audience. It's July 11th, 1948 in New York City, and Monk joins Parker and they play Monk's Well You Needn't, Charlie Parker and Thelonious Monk on WFIU.
Thank you.
That's Kenny Dorham there following Charlie Parker from a January 1st, 1949 recording of East of the Sun at the Royal Roost in New York City. Thanks for tuning in to Nightlights this evening. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday at 11:10 p.m. for The Connection, Jazz Musicians in the Living Theater. Production support for Nightlights comes from the Laughing Planet Cafe and from Soma Coffee and Juice Bar. Nightlights is engineered by Michael Paskash and produced in the studios of WFIU at Indiana University. This is David Brent Johnson wishing you good listening for the week ahead.